Hey, welcome back to the show. Go over the latest on National Signing Day as the early period has started today. He's my good friend there in Gainesville. He's Andrew Spivey with Gator Country. Andrew, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
How's it going so far for you, buddy?
Long day. You know, it's always a long day on signing day. And, you know, starts very early at 7 a.m. and goes. And it looks like it'll go to about 5 o'clock today when Billy Napier takes the podium for his National Signing Day press conference. And, you know, you have the expected guys who leave the class and the expected guys who were going to join the class. You know, pretty much today has gone about how we've expected it. Obviously, Florida fans were hoping that, you know, it was going to go a little different and they were going to be able to keep a couple of their commits and get some other guys, but they didn't. So, you know, everything's pretty much on track for today.
What's the latest on DJ Lagway?
Yeah, I mean, that situation's been done since early this morning. He has a big signing day ceremony. I believe it's even on ESPN at 4:30, and that's been his big thing. And so Florida's respecting that and, you know, giving the kid his time. And, you know, I expect very shortly after that ceremony that Florida will release his LOI, and then Billy Napier will take the podium and get to the mic and talk about, you know, the DJ and the big get for him as USC's came on strong, Texas A&M's come on strong. Florida had to fight down the stretch to keep, you know, the number two ranked quarterback in the nation now, a guy that is, you know, going to come on campus and have a lot of pressure to be the savior of Florida football.
How big of a recruit is he for Billy Napier, especially with everything that's happened today?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just a big commitment for Billy Napier. I think it's one of the biggest commitments for the University of Florida in a long time. I mean, when you look at this, you know, some places have him ranked as high as the fourth best player in the entire country and the second rated quarterback behind Dylan Raiola, who committed to Nebraska after flipping from Georgia. And so, you know, when you look at that, that's huge. I mean, you know, Florida hasn't had a quarterback sign with them, you know, in 3 years. And I mean, they had Max Brown, and that was a guy that was a backup plan there. They went with Mertz, and who was from the portal. And so, you know, to have a guy sign with you and have a guy that can come in and, you know, really get the fan base excited is huge. It's a big win for the University of Florida. It's something the fans are excited about. It's something that the team's going to be excited about. And, you know, he's a very, very good player. I mean, set the Texas state record for touchdown passes in the year, broke Greg McElroy's record out there, and that's not easy to do. So what DJ Lagway has done and being Max Preps Player of the Year, everything is just excitement and you hope that, you know, he has the time under Mertz to kind of learn and grow and that he can handle the pressure because the pressure is definitely there.
I think about last year at this time with Jaden Rashada, where I remember him being at the bowl game and he's all in on the Gators. See, that's why I don't know if I can trust any recruit, Andrew. Is that fair if I'm a Gator fan or just a guy that covers college football?
I think it's fair if you're a guy that covers college football. I mean, you know, you look at the transfer portal and, you know, you may be rooting for a particular player this year on your favorite team as a freshman. And, you know, who knows where he's going to be? I mean, you know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, would Trevor Etienne have ever left your school? No. I mean, that's just the nature of where college football is, where it's free agency. And, you know, guys are able to shop around for basically new contracts year after year. And until the NCAA puts something in place that binds these, you know, kids to their letter of intent and to their NIL that they agree upon as freshmen, then, you know, you're going to continue to have this. And I don't know what the answer to it is. And but again, until they get on campus and until they're on the roster in the fall, you really have to worry about it. I mean, you know, you see guys get on campus, go through spring practice, hate it, get in the transfer portal before they ever play a game. So, you know, while getting them in the class and into school is great, you know, you got to keep them happy and get them on the field in the fall.
We're the Andrew Spivey Gator Country, going to the latest on the signing day, early signing day today for the 2024 class. All right, I'm going to go negative. Who did the Gators lose today? There were big names that people thought the Gators were going to get.
Yeah, the big one's Amarius Williams. And again, Florida fans kind of knew that they weren't going to get him. I mean, we've been telling fans for over a month now that, you know, he was trending elsewhere. It was Ohio State for a while, and then he flipped to Auburn today. So that one was expected. It's a big loss, though. I mean, he was a guy that ran for close to 1,000 yards as a defensive lineman at over 250 pounds, just a freak athlete at a position in need on that defensive line. And, you know, he was one of those prized defensive line commits that they had for at the beginning of the season at the end of the summer that, you know, was at the time the number one defensive line class in the country. And, you know, he's just another piece you lose. They lose the Darius Hayes to Miami, and that's a tricky situation as he took a late official visit, and a lot of chatter that Florida kind of pulled out and let him go to Miami, that they may not even have sent him an LOI. So Miami was kind of his only choice there. That one's not as big as Amarius Williams, but losing Amarius Williams was big. That one hurt. The other one that picked against Florida was Jeremiah Smith, but pretty much everyone knew that Florida wasn't there. It was going to be Florida State, Miami, or Ohio State, and he stuck with his longtime commitment of Ohio State.
Did you see the video of Ryan Day where he's live at the press conference and he's relieved that he got the number one recruit in the country?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks for everybody, you know, not just you and I who have to cover it. I mean, it sucks for the coaches because they don't know until they have the LOI in. And, you know, I had multiple conversations with multiple people down there in South Florida about that. And, you know, he went back and forth, and some were even saying that some of his family members thought he was going to stay home in Miami. And so, you know, that was a weird situation that had a lot of different moving parts. And Ryan Day couldn't feel comfortable until he had the paperwork in front of him. And, you know, he still may not feel comfortable until he sees Jeremiah in Columbus in January.
We're the Andrew Spivey Gator Country. Let's go positive. What pickups did the Gators get today then?
Yeah, picked up a big one in running back Jaden Baugh, who was a Arkansas commit for a while. He committed Monday and picked Florida over Alabama after taking an official visit to Alabama over the weekend. And big play running back, a guy who can kind of do it all. Really versatile guy, can catch the ball out of the backfield, and pretty good run blocker, and it has some ability, you know, to be a tough physical runner with that agility to kind of get outside the tackle box and get going, and really a big you know, pickup to go with Kayon Daniels from Mississippi, and that running back duo will be very good for the Gators, you know, especially losing ETN, you needed some more bodies there. The other one they picked up so far is Gregory Smith, a safety, good athlete, played quarterback, threw for over 2,000 yards, had over 2,000 yards of all-purpose yards, and played safety as well. Really, really good athlete. Florida kind of got on him in the fall, and he picked Florida over several other schools. Vandy and Ole Miss were coming on strong late, and he stuck with Florida and his word when he kind of silently committed a few weeks ago. So those were two big ones. They're still waiting on an offensive lineman in favor Edwin, who will pick between Alabama, Auburn, and Florida. Most, including myself, kind of think Florida will win out there. He's supposed to announce later on today. And really, that's it. That's all the pickups. And, you know, it's gotten to the point nowadays with early signing day where you don't see a ton of commitments. You just kind of see this whole flipping and flopping thing, but you don't see a lot of guys that are uncommitted, you know, committing. And so those three were big for Florida.
All right. We said for weeks and weeks and weeks they were going to have a top five recruiting class. That's what it looked like with a lot of these different rankings. As of right now, this afternoon, where is this ranking then for this 24 recruiting class?
Last check, I believe it was 14. They dropped from 3 to 14 in about a week. You know, it happens quick. And, you know, when you have a class that, you know, had number of four stars that flipped, and you know, you had guys that, you know, left, and you know, you were in on some other guys and they didn't come, and it hurts. There's no you know, there's no wiggle room in the top 10 right there. If you lose guys like Florida did and other schools are gaining guys, it hurts, and it did. And it went from a really good class to a just okay class now. And, you know, we'll see. Obviously, the transfer portal throws a wrench into this and kind of can help you. And, you know, Florida has done a pretty good job in that. They got four transfers that will fill some needs. We'll see how good they are and how much they can contribute, and that kind of helps things. But, you know, that top five class kind of went out the window when you went 5-7.
A lot of pressure on DJ Lagway. A lot. He bet like it's such. I agree with you. I can't remember a recruit with this much just – I'm trying to think what the word would be here exactly. Pressure? Is pressure the right word then if he comes to Florida?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, pressure's probably it. I mean, you know, again, it's a situation where he's going to come in and he's going to probably sit behind Graham Mertz, and, you know, he'll have a role, and I'm sure he'll have some different formations and plays for him that'll get him in the game, kind of like Tebow did when Nick was here. And, but yeah, the pressure's there. I mean, obviously, DJ's the guy that, you know, Billy Napier and Florida are bringing in to be the quarterback of the future. And, you know, if Florida wants to get back to where they are right now, it's up to DJ Lagway on offense. And if Billy Napier's tenure may hang on how good DJ Lagway is. And Graham Mertz, I mean, he has to win next year, obviously. So maybe you don't get a full year of DJ Lagway, but I think Billy Napier will be judged on how good DJ Lagway really is.
Okay. Where do we go from here for Gator recruiting? After today, what happens exactly?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of have a dead period right now. And then the 1st of January, you'll start having more transfer portal guys take visits. And, you know, you'll have those guys in. And then second week of January, I believe it's the 15th. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
You can start hosting guys that didn't sign as you'll, you know, be ready for that late signing day. That's the first Wednesday in February that, you know, kind of is forgotten about now, where many guys don't sign. And, you know, right now it doesn't look like Florida's in on anyone for that late signing period. It looks like they'll mainly focus on the transfers and the transfer portal. So that'll be big. And they still need a defensive line coach.
Okay. There are no wrong answers here. Next year at this time, you'll have college football playoff games. And it'll be going on, like, it's going to be going on for weeks, heading into past New Year's Day. Do you still, in your eyes, if you're in charge of all this, would you still have this early signing period right now, right before Christmas? Or would you move it back to February? Like, what would you do, Andrew?
Well, I don't think you can move it back to February because, I mean, for instance, you look at Florida's class of, you know, right now it's at 19, and 15 of those guys are going to be in school in January. So what's the point of signing day in February? I mean, nowadays it's almost, you know, it's kind of flip-flop, where if you're not early enrolling, you're kind of one of the lone wolves, where if you, you know, a few years ago, if you early enrolled, you were one of the few guys that did. And so I don't know that you could take it away. If something has to be done. I don't know the answer to it. I really don't, Mark. You know, some people say in the summertime, but you can't have early signing day in the summertime. I mean, too much changes. There's too many coaching changes. Then you would have to have the clause in there. They could, you know, get out of their recruitment and their letter of intent if their coach left. That just creates more drama. So I don't know what the answer is, but something has to be done. You know, Hugh Freeze was talking about this last week, where he said, you know, he's trying to prepare for a bowl game. He's trying to recruit the transfer portal, and he's trying to recruit high school kids. It's tough. I mean, your coaches are supposed to be on the road, you know, Sunday through Friday recruiting, and then Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, they're supposed to be, you know, doing official visits. When is the time to get your team ready for a bowl game? And, you know, it's someone said this to me, and it kind of made me think about it for a second, and that is it almost a disadvantage to be in the bowl game? Because you have so much time taken away that something has to be done. There's way too much going on in December to make this work. You know, you're having guys that, you know, in the transfer portal going unnoticed. You're having guys in the high school rankings going unnoticed. You're having college coaches, you know, just getting to the point where they're overworked, and that's why you're losing some good coaches to the NFL.
I agree. Oh, also, I look at Texas A&M from the last couple of years with Jimbo, where they constantly have top five recruiting classes, and then they couldn't win on the field. Like, it's just, it's all over the place. I feel like I'm so cynical now with recruiting.
They're the New York Yankees of college football.
I understand. That's a pretty good shot. I like that. I really do.
How good Mike Elko does. I mean, they put together a decent little class. Now they're doing really well in the transfer portal. Missouri's doing really well, and Ole Miss is doing really well. You know, the SEC in general is loading up on talent. You look at what Texas is bringing in. Yeah. Texas has a monster recruiting class coming in. I mean, the SEC is just reloading. Georgia flips the K.J. Bolden safety from FSU. Alabama, you know, being Alabama, flipping guys. The rich get richer in the SEC.
What did you think of the Gators' schedule that we now know it for 24?
Brutal. I mean, oof. When you look at that schedule, you know, you kind of think going into next year, Billy Napier needs to win 7 games. And you look at that schedule, and I think you're tough to find 7 really good games. I mean, you know, I said to someone, I think you almost have to be 6-1 heading into the Georgia game. You know, because after the Georgia game, you have Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State. That is brutal. I mean, that is, you know, 5 teams right there that were in the top 15, top 18 of the college football rankings at the end of the year, and that's what you close with? You know, and not to mention you're starting the year with Miami, who, you know, it's probably going to be a little bit better than you are. And, you know, you have UCF who, you know, you can't take lightly. It's brutal. It is absolutely brutal. I would not want to be Billy Napier, you know, trying to figure out a way to win ball games in that schedule. And, you know, it's tough because, again, that's a make or break year for him. And the schedule did him no favors.
None. I think about with the 12-team playoff. Hey, if you're in the SEC and you go like 9-3, you might make the playoff, right? Like, isn't that the new world we're going to live in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was, you know, looking at the schedule myself, and, you know, you look at Georgia. I mean, Georgia has to go to Alabama, and they have to go to Texas. You know, that's not easy. You know, you have Alabama who has Georgia and has to go to Norman. I mean, and again, you know, I don't think Oklahoma's, you know, great football team by any means, but Norman's not an easy place to go and win. Not to mention you still have your regulars of Auburn and LSU coming in there. You know, it's a brutal schedule for everybody. I mean, if you're Texas, I mean, look what Texas has got coming in. I mean, they got to go to Florida. I mean, they have Florida coming to town, Georgia coming to town. They have Oklahoma as usual. You know, the SEC is, if you come out of the SEC with one loss, I think you should be, you know, pretty much guaranteed to make a bowl game. And maybe even if you got 2 losses.
Would you want to go to Austin, Texas for that game with Florida and Texas?
Oh, I will be absolutely going. That's one of those that, you know, I think as a college football fan, that's a bucket list to go to. There, Norman's for sure. I've always said I wanted to go to the Texas State Fair, too. I think that would be a fun game to attend.
My sister went to Texas. I've been to a game there at Austin. It's awesome, dude. It really is. Yeah, you got to go.
And you got the media days out in
Death Star.
Dallas.
Yeah. It's at Arlington, right? It's at Jerry Jones's Death Star, right? Is that where it is?
Yep.
Oh, we're going. Yep. We're going. I don't know where we're staying, but yeah, we're going to that, buddy. Yeah.
And here's the thing, Mark. Guess what's in town while Media Days is going on?
What?
The MLB All-Star Game.
No. No way.
It is. It's at Ranger Stadium.
Do we have to get credentialed for baseball and Media Days? Is that the game?
You just pull some strings over there. I'll be your I'll be your bag carrier.
Wait a minute. Like the Home Run Derby might be going on. When we're at media days, oh, we're going.
So, you know, you need Randy however you say his name, to make it. And then, you know, you can say you're going to cover it, and you need a back man, and I'll be with you.
I honestly, we're here at the Andrew Spivey Gator Country for the holidays. I think we better book our hotels now. I think that's what we should do if we're going to get a good rate. I'm not kidding.
Yes.
And the airfare. Wow, that is awesome. Wow, look at you. You know your stuff. All right, what should we check out the latest for Gator Country with signing day, buddy?
Yeah, checking out what Billy Napier has to say. We'll keep following LJ McCray. You know, he says he may or may not sign today as things are going back and forth between Florida and Auburn. We'll be, following that. And we'll be looking at the portal. And then we'll be looking to head down to Orlando to watch DJ in the Under Armour game.
That's going to be really cool. His name's Andrew Spivey, Gator Country. Yeah, keep following him on Twitter, especially for the latest. My man, thank you so much for all your help, and have a great holidays with your family.
Absolutely, man. You too, and all the listeners as well. Have a happy holidays, buddy.